Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. I should in defender the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
Good morning. I'm Carl Christman, one of the deacons. One of the reasons I volunteered, I got to take off my mask. I'd like to welcome you all here today. We have a good number of people. And I'd like to especially welcome Betty Staggs back here. I think it's the first time she's been here in about 13 months. So, Betty, welcome. I'd also like to thank those people that are watching on Facebook and listening on the radio out in the back area here. My sermon today is a little different. I'm a little different. Ask anybody that really knows me. It's a layman looks at prayer. What's up there is my sources. And before I start, I'm going to go through them because I want you to, there's a couple things I want you to look at. Number one, first thing I used was the Bible. Second thing I used was the internet. And the third thing, which is book one, Catherine Marshall's book, Adventures in Prayer. It's a little paperback. It was printed in 75. That would be 1975. Catherine Marshall also wrote something called A Man Called Peter. Her husband was Peter Marshall. He died about 1949 at 47 years of age. He was the chaplain of the U.S. Senate for 2 years. And he also has written several books. But Catherine Marshall has done some excellent writing. If you haven't read A Man Called Peter, I would suggest it. And this one I would suggest that you might even be interested in picking up. I found out on the internet you can get it from Prime for $6. That includes posting, or you get postage, or you can get it from somebody else for $3, and you're going to pay the postage. Either way, you're going to pay about the same amount. At the end of each chapter, she has a prayer relating to that particular subject. And then Ogilvie's Praying Through Tough Times and Yancey's Why Pray, which is an interesting book in that it's actually part of the other book that's named up there, which is Prayer Does It Make Any Difference? This is just a section of it. And you can buy the whole book. Pastor David has the entire book. I just have Why Pray. And then the last thing that I used, sort of, is a movie by the Kendricks. If you don't know who they are, they do a lot of Christian movies. And it's called War Room. If you haven't seen it, it's an excellent movie. And I'll reference something that happened in that movie in today's subject. When I first thought about doing this, actually was about a month after I married Nancy Veach, and that was in 2012. Nancy was really into prayer. She's taken years of classes dealing with that. And so some of these books I actually found on her shelf, because we have about 1,400 books at home. I'm going to go through four important questions as we go through today. One, is it okay to be angry at God and argue with him? Now, if you ever, those of you that heard my play in, I think it was the last week of August, Robert argued constantly with God. He was angry with him, and he kept telling him he hated him. Is it okay to do that? Then what is prayer? Is when you pray and how you pray important? And then why do you pray? About 25 years ago when Oregon started the lottery, there was a joke that started floating around. And I'm sure some of you that have as many months on your body as I do probably might remember it. But this man is saying to God, God, why don't you let me win the lottery? Other people win it. Why can't I win it? Next week, same thing. God, I didn't win the lottery. Why don't you let me win the lottery? Well, the next week there was a big prize. Big prize back then might have been $10 million. Now, that's still a big prize to me, but not according to the lottery. And he didn't win again. He said, God, why don't you let me win the lottery? This time he heard a voice. Last two times he didn't hear a voice. And the voice was, I hear you. Do me a favor. Meet me halfway. Buy a ticket. So, I think that's why I don't win the lottery. Opening prayer tonight or today will be one that I found that I really like. And so I'm going to use it. O Heavenly and Gracious Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you for this beautiful and gracious Sunday morning. At least when I came in, the sun was shining. Thank you. And if not, rain is still perfect because of all the great things it does for us. You have created for the perfect Sunday morning you have created for us. For this day we praise and honor your name. This is the day you have made. We will rejoice and be glad for all that you have in store for us. When I started learning prayers, and my background is much different than most people in here, I learned rote prayers. In other words, I memorized them. And I'll talk about three of them. The other way of doing it would be spontaneous prayers. It's something I never even did until I showed up at Salt Creek about 2012 when I married Nancy. Spontaneous prayers never even occurred to me. Yet most people in here, I'm going to guess, probably are just 100% the reverse of that. But that's okay. Which is best? Why? Who decides? You or God? I don't think God cares. What God wants is something from the heart. If you are serious and you are heartfelt, what you're asking for or you're praying for, he's going to listen. In any case, he's going to listen. But you'll find that God has three different answers, as I found out. One is yes, one is no, and one is wait. When I was 6 to 12 years old, if you remember the other presentation I did, like I said earlier, the one from Robert, I had three prayers. Number one, I wanted a dad. My father died when I was 7 in a car accident. I never had a dad. I had a father, but I didn't have a dad. That was one. I guess his answer was no, because I never did get one. The second thing I wanted, when I got married, I wanted to have sons. I have three daughters. My baby is 50 years old, so I'm guessing I'm not going to get a son either. I do have three son-in-laws, but so I guess his answer was no there. On both of those, I know why. I could explain to you why he said no, but that's not the purpose of what I'm doing today. And the third one was, God, I want to be in a country church. When I married Nancy in 2012, Cinco de Mayo, I ended up at Salt Creek. I finally got my Christian church in the country. It only took me 61 years. Anyway, let me rephrase that. Yeah, 61 years. I don't know if I would have even started praying for it if I knew it was going to take me a lifetime. But to me, it was worth it. This is my home church. And I wish I would have been here as a kid, the size of some of these little ones here, with a youth pastor like Pastor Vince. and the people that work with King's Kids and our other programs. In Matthew 5:1-15, the Lord's Prayer, there's a traditional prayer, and I didn't know Dave was going to do what he did, but I'm going to ask those of you that can stand and would like to stand up, and we're going to repeat this together. And I did put it up here, so if you don't know it, and there are some that don't, I'm sure, it's here. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm not sure if anybody in here or many people in here are aware that in Luke 11:2, there's a shorter version. And it goes like this. Father, hallowed by thy name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. That's the extent of the Lord's Prayer that you find in Luke 11:2. Question I have is, and I told Jean I was going to ask her a question, but I'm not. I asked 15 people in the congregation this question earlier this week, and that is, what is the first prayer that you learned? And you can be thinking about that. I'll tell you what they were, that my answers from the congregation. 12 people said, it was, now I lay me down to sleep. I didn't even hear that prayer until I was in my late teens. 2 of the other 3 gave me a grace for before meals. And the 15th one is one I'd never heard, and I am going to ask my friend over here to give me it to me, because he gave it to me in the car the other night. Brian? Do you remember what you said? The first prayer you said, it is one I've never heard before. Yeah. Okay. That was one I had to this day, until I heard it from him, I had never heard it before. Those were the 15 results that I got. I don't know what you would say, but I'm going to tell you the first 3 prayers that I learned. First one, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. That's used in several churches. But I've never heard it in the last probably 40 years. The other one is the Lord's Prayer. And the third one is somewhat controversial because of a word that's in it. So I'm not going to go that far. I'm going to go through part of it. It's called the Apostles' Creed. It's similar to the baptismal creed that was used in the 3rd and 4th centuries. And it was finally reached to its final stage, although there are several slightly different versions out, in the 6th or early 7th century. It's used by Catholics, all varieties. I don't know if you're aware, there is more than one Catholic Church. When people say Catholics, they think of Roman Catholics. In the United States, we also have Charismatic Catholics, which started in 1975 in Canada. I'm not going to go into why it started, but it started actually in the Catholic Church, but they split off. It's also in the Lutheran hymnal. I've said this prayer in the Lutheran Church, United Methodist Church, Anglicans, Presbyterians, Congregationalists, and Morivians. Most of you probably are not too familiar with Morivians, if you've even heard it. They predate Luther by 100 years, though. They're a German church. And not many churches are Morivian in the United States. Nancy and I found one on the East Coast. And the first part of it, I don't think anybody can disagree with. It goes, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. And I'm going to stop it right there. I don't think anything I've said that far is anything too many people would disagree with in most Catholic or Protestant churches. But if you want to know what the rest of it is, check it out or come ask me or read it and then come we talk about it. Now, let's talk about arguing with God, because I figure this is a good place to talk about, because people do argue about the Apostles' Creed. If you take a look at the Bible, there's a hall of fame of people there who bickered, argued, and haggled with God. Can you think of any? How about Abraham, Jacob, Moses, David, Elijah, Jeremiah, Peter, Paul, etc.? Don't be afraid to tell God how you feel. You have to remember, before you actually start talking to God in prayer, he has known what you're going to say long before you were ever born. So don't be afraid to say it. He wants to hear from you. He wants to know you. You can't read the Psalms without hearing bold questions being directed at God. For example, has the Lord's steadfast love ever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Psalm 77, 7 through 9. In the book of Job, Job's wife is angry with him, and she's saying, it is book of Job 2, 9 and 10, are you trying to be godly when God has done all this to you? Curse him and die. But Job replied, you talk like some heathen woman. What? Shall we receive only pleasant things from the hand of God and never anything unpleasant? I think most of us have lived long enough to know that there's a lot of unpleasant things out there. We're living through COVID right now. People have cancer. People have other kinds of diseases. Okay, now that we have that, what is prayer? You can get a lot of definitions on this one, and I did. But the basic reason for praying, to me, is to converse with God, to tell God what is happening. Maybe something I need. Prayer is a spiritual communication between man and God, two-way relationship in which man should not only talk to God, but listen. Referring again to the sermon I did in August, where Robert was very angry with God. He was sitting in the theater, and the individual that had brought him to the theater began to attempt to molest him with his hands. And Robert heard, get up and go, go. Now, he didn't hear anybody yelling like I am. He didn't hear anybody like we would be talking. But he heard it. How do I know? I'm Robert. Robert's my middle name. That was me. When he started moving his hand, I got up and I went. I heard something that said, get up, go. I'm not going into the rest of it because I already discuss that piece, and it's not part of prayer, because that wasn't prayer. That would just get up and go. So prayer to God is like a child conversing with his father. That's something I never did, so I can't relate to that on the human level. It's natural for a child to ask his father things he needs. I know, I've got three daughters. My baby just turned 50, but she still asks. In Isaiah 65:24, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Or Psalm 91:15, "He shall call upon me and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." Or maybe the one most people are familiar with, Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened." Whatever you don't understand about your life, ask God. You will get an answer. The answer may be no, but you will get an answer. And remember that if you don't know the words, sit quietly. The Holy Spirit will intercede, and he will help us learn. Maybe that was the Holy Spirit talking to me. I don't know. How about when you pray? And is that important? The Bible tells us to pray continually. Where can you pray? You can pray any place. You can pray as you're walking along. Many people do that. They'll go for a walk and they'll pray as they walk. Or walk in their garden. Many people will pray at school, during recess, during breaks. You can pray at meals. There's all kinds of prayers that you can find to say at meals. And I'm going to give you one because I like it. I picked it up in 1987. And it was at Philmont Scout Ranch, my first time there, for training. And it is in New Mexico, out of Cimarron. "For food, for raiment, for life, for opportunity, we thank thee, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen." Raiment is not a word that's common here, but raiment means clothing. So, but it was written by one of the individuals that had been there as a child, as a youngster, and then he went on to work on staff, and he was there for several years, and I think his fourth year he wrote it. I love that, and anytime I use any kind of grace, I use that one. But that's just one place you can use it. The other thing I like to say is that you can use it while you're driving. Well, don't get too involved with prayer while you're driving. I-5 during rush hour would not be the time. Or 22. I know three people that were killed on 22. I don't know how many here are old enough, a few, to remember the bumper sticker that used to be out, "Pray for me, I drive Highway 22. I don't know if it was on this side of the highway, this side of I-5 or not, but when I lived in Salem on the other side, we had them stuck all over our bumpers if we drove on 22. I know two people that were killed there by the institution. The one on this side was killed by the EOLN. Now, praying in secret, that was war room. The lady in this particular film talks about a room she set up. It was a closet. She goes in, there is a seat in there. Most of the time she did kneeling, but all over the wall she had posted stickers. And she would write the things she wanted to remember to pray for. In Matthew 6:6 it says, "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, most of you are probably thinking of another verse, which is Matthew 18:19-20. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything I ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. They're not either or. They're not one exclusive. You could do either one. Many people will have a prayer room or a prayer place where they will go and they pray, but that doesn't mean they don't come together with their friends on Sunday or whatever, or in Sunday school and pray. They pray for the things that are on their heart. They pray for other people. They pray for things that are going on in the world. Thomas Merton said, when you pray, why do you pray? He says, relinquishment. Give it to God. If the situation that you have is something that you can't handle, give it to God. Asking help from a loving Father, Heavenly Father, God wants the best for us. But remember praise and thanks. Many people go to God when they need something, but they forget to go back and say thank you. Thank you for the weather. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my parents. So what is prayer? And this is the I'll learn this thing. Prayer is talking with God. Jeremiah 29:12. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Now, I just gave you the one reference. One of the interesting things you can do, if you have time, is to go through and see what other references in the Bible, because there's several references in the Bible for each one of these. Prayer is praise, Matthew 6:9. This then is how you should pray, our Father who art in heaven, which we've already covered. Prayer can be quiet before him. Samuel 1:3-9. So Eli told Samuel, go lie down and wait for God's voice. And Samuel went and laid down, and eventually he heard God's voice. Prayer is asking for a change of heart, Acts 3:9 and Psalms 139:23-24. Acts 3:19 says, repeat then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing comes from the Lord. Or prayer is telling God your needs. Jeremiah 29:11. A prayer journal, which I'll talk about in a minute, because I have one up here Do not be anxious by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be known to God. Don't hold them in and then say God didn't do it for you. Prayer can be presenting others to him. Mark 16:15-16. This is the one where we're told to go out and go into the world and spread the gospel. That's one thing Salt Creek does an excellent job of, spreading the gospel throughout the world. We also, the pastors work well with the other pastors here in town and activities they have. We have coming up the Easter program. If you don't know about that, there's a copy of it in information in the bulletin. And looking for help if you want to volunteer. It'll be on a Saturday. I believe it's the first Saturday of April, which is this Saturday before Easter, I believe. Prayer is thanking God. Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing and give thanks to all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ. Have you thanked God for sending the Holy Spirit to you? I'm positive that no one in here has never had the Holy Spirit step into their lives. How about spiritual blessings? We can all sit down and think about spiritual blessings. We've had, I can't imagine how many I have had, even though I cried and griped for years and years and years. But when I sat down and thought about it, my two wives, whoever expected me to get married a second time? Not me. My kids. My scout troop, when I had a scout troop. My church groups. Salt Creek. Prayer is asking for guidance. Psalm 25:1. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in your will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame if they are treacherous without excuse. Guide me in your truth, teach me, for you are my God and my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Prayer is asking for empowerment. Psalms 145:1. David said, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and praise your name forever and ever. And then prayer is turning to God. Psalm 145:18. The Lord is near all the time to all who call on him in truth. One of the groups, when we talk about prayer, we talk about prayer groups. There's a prayer group that formed 66 years ago in Pittsburgh. Calvary Episcopal Church pastor Sam Shoemaker is the one that started it. And he got a group of people together to pray for each other. What a unique concept. These people were CEOs and business managers from town, from Pittsburgh. Now there's not one, there's many, there's dozens, and they've spread all over Philadelphia. They meet one time a week, for 1 hour a week, and they pray for each other. And when he started it, Sam Shoemaker said, the aim is not to supplant church, but to supplement it. Sunday school or church groups are not to supplant going to Sunday service. They are supplemental. And it was formed again, as I said, for CEOs and managers. They still meet today. Probably not the same people, but I wouldn't put that against them. There might be a few, because it's only been 66 years. They could be in their 90s. Therefore, in James 5:16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. That's called the priesthood of believers. And this was the premise for setting this up. I have two suggestions that are possible for everybody set up. One of them is a prayer bulletin board. The old days, you could put a magnet and put it on your refrigerator. My refrigerator won't hold a magnet. You know, in their wisdom, they've got all these great things there, but they won't hold a magnet. So get a piece of paper, get a bulletin board, and put their things on there. Pray for the Bills, trying to get to France. Pray for Salt Creek. Pray for our pastors. Pray for our deacons. Pray for John and the music department. I'll bet you not a whole lot of people think of John and the music department when they're praying. I usually don't, until I start making it a mandatory thing for me. So, those are things you can put there. And you remember, the one I first saw is a kid from starving in Ethiopia. Remember those pictures? Final suggestion is, when I was teaching, I used to have my eighth graders write a letter to themselves that would be opened the day they graduated from high school. All but two kids came back to me and said the same thing. I wish I wouldn't have put something stupid and dumb in that letter. Now, what's that have to do with prayer? Well, if we have some prayer that we really, and something that we want to write a prayer, write it down to yourself in secret, date it, and the suggestion that I first picked up was put it in an old Bible, that one you're not going to use very often, or a favorite book, and leave it there until whatever you ask for, the answer has come through. Now, my answer for a country church, that poor book would have been moved a lot of times. So I suggest you put a date on it, like 2 years out. So, and they would write that letter when they graduated from high school, or when they turned 21, or whatever you want. And the one from high school, they would open up, it could be when they graduated from college, or it could be after they've worked in the same job for 2 years, or after they've worked in the business community for 2 years. And see if what was important to them in day one is still important to them in day 600. And see if God answered that for them. God may have answered no, but it's an interesting thing to do if you've never done it. And I would suggest that at least you consider it. I do have a prayer journal, and I'll have it available if people want to look at it. And I have copies of pages that you can have to copy from. It also has two unique things. It has the Old Testament in little boxes and the New Testament in little boxes. So if you read through the Bible, you can check those boxes that you've read. If you're reading it for an entire year, you just check them as you go. And they don't have to be in order. I've read the Bible in order once. I would never do that again. I've read majority of the Bible more than once, but I didn't read from beginning to end. I did once, but other than that, I'm reading specific. I seem to go back to Revelations more than anything else. In closing, may the Lord bless and keep you. May he smile upon you and be gracious to you. May he look your way and give you peace. Amen.